And I see we are live. Cool.
Internet cool. Activated.
Throw your hands in the
air. Hey, we're back.
Don't tell me what to do with my hands.
It's been a while since we've done an episode together.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Anyways, guys, thank you for tuning in once again. This is the Teacher's Lounge podcast presented by Beat Refinery. Learn how to mix, scratch, and make music at beatrefinery.com. We have school locations nationwide. Make sure to support Boxer Rock Music School as well. So, yeah, my name is DJ Geometrics. We're back again with another episode of the podcast. How's everybody doing?
Doing well.
Feeling good. Feeling great. How are you?
All right.
Good, good. Sean, what'd you do over the weekend?
I am burning the candle at both ends. It's the end of wedding season. I had a wedding on Saturday that was at a very small farm. It got torrential downpour right when the ceremony was supposed to start, and I was like, okay, this is the day my laptop dies. So I started preparing myself mentally. We can talk about that a little bit later, for replacing in my laptop with another sound source last minute, and I bought a toy. But I made it through the wedding. It was a whirlwind weekend, just of life things, and that wedding kind of pushed me to the point of I need to start investing in 2022 gear. Well, 2022 gear, because it's time to replace some stuff.
Yeah, it's at that point now. Like I'm looking to start replacing some stuff too, because I've been using a lot of tools for the past few years now. But you know what? I forgot to introduce everybody else. We got Stylist Chris here.
What up?
We got DJ As One.
Oh, I'm just
hold on one second, Sanjay. No. One second.
I'm just here. Don't worry about us.
And of course, we got Doc Plus.
What's going on?
We haven't done this in a while, so I'm like kind of rusty here. But
rust the dust off. Well, Chris, how was your weekend, man?
Rust the dust off.
Who'd you ask?
I said Chris.
Chris.
Yo. Yeah.
How's things?
Yeah, things are good, man. You know, it's all life's always about the balance between being appreciative of being very busy and trying to also keep sanity. And these last 2 weeks I've been pushed to the limit on that capability wise, and I'm all for it, especially since where we were for a good over a year and something, where we weren't sure where our careers were going, or how you guys know, I during the pandemic I got my real estate license, because I was like, man, I've never felt so vulnerable in my life, and I've always been very diversified as a DJ or as someone.
We never felt so non-essential.
Oh my god, right?
That's the word. You're non-essential.
Yeah, and when you got kids to feed and mortgages, like you got to think bigger. So I was like, I got to have something else going on. So
it makes sense. That makes sense.
But yeah, as Sean's saying, weddings are in full swing, and I spent most of my weekend doing private events and a couple weddings, and it was good times, real good times.
Shoot, going back to non-essential, you know, sometimes some of the weddings, you know, they treat us as non-essentials.
That is very real.
I did a private event this Wednesday where if I turned the music volume down any lower, it would have been off.
Yeah.
And, oh God.
And but it's like, that's cool, because there's still one or two people that are actually listening, you know, and that one or two people could lead you to your next call. So
there's the
still do
line.
Your thing, yeah. And yeah,
never phone it in. Never phone it in.
I still sat there and played jams that I wanted to play. It was a dinner party, and so it wasn't any expectation of dancing. They just wanted some background music to fill their conversation. So it was a retirement party. So after some speeches, I played you're simply the best.
Tina Turner.
You know, stuff like that would just like fit in there. You know, Allah Black, I'm the man.
And that song's so good.
So just play some stuff like that that was kind of in the theme, and they dug it. So, you know.
It's dope.
I just didn't want it loud.
Otherwise they can't hear each other talking to each other.
Right.
Actually.
They were much more concerned about hearing each other's conversation than so.
Especially if you're wearing, yes.
Oh no, finish.
It's me. Oh no, I was just saying with hearing aids, legit, it's hard to hear things when there's like
with hearing aids.
Well, I'm serious. I have family that like.
Again, my grandma's got hearing aids too.
I worked at an assisted living home, and I was their first DJ and did things like that, and yeah,
that sounds. Eventually, I'm probably gonna be at that point later in life. Man. I'm probably needing like hearing
your aids. Homes.
I've damaged my ears so much, man.
Yeah, like, no, for sure. Yeah. I feel like my ears are probably not the best setup for the future. I'm probably not in the worst shape, but you know. You're a full-time music person around.
You get my earplugs, that's for sure.
Yeah, real definitely quick, actually.
Get earplugs.
Doc Bluss, since you brought that up, there's a movie I saw a couple months ago called The Sound of Metal. If anybody is interested in the perspective of a musician losing their hearing and then having to get hearing aids and how it changes your career entirely, watch that movie. It's about a drummer, but it's really about all of us.
Dang, I gotta watch that.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I can't hear you guys anymore.
Wait, neither can I. Yeah. But Doc, what'd you do over the weekend?
We had we had an amazing weekend here in Austin. It was I'm so grateful. We had our second ritual, which is an event me and a friend put together at the W in Austin here, and we do very very much inspired by like the 18th Street Lounge patio. Right. You know, we got, we were playing lounge music, pushing it into the outer limits of lounge into dance and deep house. And man, it just felt really good. And we had two guest DJs with us. So it was me, Keating, DJ Lefty, and DJ Slide Drexler. And Slide Drexler, man,
it was so good.
That's the coolest name since Spencer Tracy, bro.
It was Formula One weekend too, so we had a really interesting mix of people there. I mean, it's what I like about playing there is that it's you get people from out of town that come in, you get people like locals, our friends, and then friends of the DJs, and I mean, we had this really awesome mixing pot of people, and even like the vice president of the Marriott was there for Formula One weekend. And it was just, it felt great. And we got good feedback. And I'll be putting those up on the radio in DC actually on WERA this Thursday.
Nice.
At least 1 hour from it.
Do you guys think Sly Drexler's alternate nickname is Sly the Glide?
It was Rolls Royce Joyce at first, actually.
Here's what I want to ask. Doc, do you know why? You know the whole why Sly Drexler is kind of funny?
No.
And neither does for the record, neither does Sean Jay.
You don't know? Come on, guys.
Oh, he's not a sports guy.
Not a sports guy.
There's
a legendary basketball player named Clyde Drexler.
Maybe he was inspired by that.
By Clyde Drexler for sure.
He's more inspired by that than Olivia Rodrigo and Paramore. And that
wow, yeah. Nice references, though. Dad.
That is good.
Shout out to NBA 80s.
Nice,
but yeah, anyway, it was an awesome time. Nope. I'd love to have you guys sometime. I know you guys would.
I really want to get to Austin soon.
Yes, please. And Chris, I dream of you playing the ritual, man. Like you know exactly what to do.
He helps create this vibe.
When's the next Southwest?
Next year.
Is that next year?
I think they brought it back.
I've been wanting to experience that.
I was supposed to do it 2 years in a row, and then events got canceled 2 years
ago. Yeah, I was going to go in 2020. And then...
Oh, there you go. Let's go.
I like it. I like it.
Make it a boys trip.
What's the date of 2022?
It's March something. Let me pull it up.
I should know. I don't know.
Anyways, moving on. Art, what'd you do?
Oh, we looked that up.
Oh, yeah. What's up, guys? I had a pretty busy weekend. Had some stuff going on, man. Typical stuff. I was just a little under the weather handling everything this week, so it was.
Yeah, you were sick last week, so
me too.
I was definitely sick last week, and I was still trying to recover this week. I'm still kind of a little here and there. I feel like, you know, like all the weight and the pain is all in my spine and stuff like that. But At the end of the day, I did a club gig that went really good. I did a wedding on Saturday. I got to use a bunch of new gear. I came up with this whole remote wireless system that basically was the idea was everything that I can take to the ceremony setup to do had to basically be able to be battery powered and fit into a backpack.
Talk nerdy to me.
Yeah. So like if I have to walk into a middle of a field and do this, I should be able to, no problem. And I was able to do so. And it was great. I also moved into the realm of doing it with a tablet. So cross DJ by Mix Vibes. Cross DJ app.
Name of what you were using. Okay.
Fantastic. Free app. Better than the other ones that make you need to pay for stuff. Like, it's great. But yeah, it was cool. I also just came out with I just released the mix. So last week also, I had a deadline to do that BPM Supreme mix that you guys can hear online now on Mixcloud, or just go to their Mixcloud. Super fun to do, man. But yeah, typical me, worked to the deadline and got the mix in, and these guys are stoked, man. So.
So where is it? I'm stoked, man. I cannot wait to download it again. It's like a BPM Supreme, and then
Mixcloud. It's on Mixcloud.
Their Mixcloud. Okay.
Yes, it's on BPM Supreme Mixcloud. So just go to the Mixcloud app, and or you can go to my Instagram and just click the link, or you can go to BPM Supreme Instagram right now and click their link tree, and it's the first link in there right now.
I saw that playlist, man. Dope, man.
Very fun. Oh, the playlist was fun, man. The playlist was I think that was the most fun part, because they said, you know, Carrie was like, you know, clean, be it clean or dirty, just kind of do what you want to do. Play what you're into. Like, put some stuff in this mix, whatever you're into right now. And, you know,
including an original track there.
I put an original track and two originals and two edits of mine.
Yeah.
So I used the opportunity to kind of slide that in there. And hopefully you might see some of those edits on BPM Supreme website soon. Working on that. Yeah.
Dope.
Sweet.
Awesome, man.
Congrats,
man. And I'm drinking a lot of water right now.
But yo, like the battery setup for ceremonies is the way to go. I've been doing that for a while now. I've been using like my camping batteries.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Actually, one of my camping batteries can actually power both my speaker and the setup that I have, because it's my camping battery is like about 500 watts.
It all depends on the speaker. How many watts the speaker is. A lot of times, like my QSC,
but it's like the if it's like 1,000 watt speaker, you're not gonna use all 1,000 watts. That's so it's the like thing.
It depends
for
on
for ceremony. It's like you're not blasting it, so you're probably only using like way less than that. You know,
yeah, I guess you're right.
But I definitely need to find like a smaller solution though. Like I need to find like smaller batteries, and I don't want to keep using my camping batteries, you know. But it's been cool doing like a battery, you know, setup.
You just need a universal power supply, an uninterrupted power supply.
Yeah, one of those.
Like the ones that cost like $70 can last about 15 minutes. So my guess is like a $400 one, $500 one probably lasts
an hour. Which is actually the same price point you're looking at for one of the good, like,
yeah, like a lithium marketed battery
as portable ones. Yeah. Like I got this for my wedding. So that was years ago. It works, but it's also not rated for.
As long as it's lithium batteries. Lithium batteries can perform at 100%, you know, like it's what it's made for, from full to like maybe like 25% like capacity, you know, it can still perform fully, you know, like unlike,
so that's the lithium ion is basically like,
yeah, it's performance wise, it's the way to go. But if it's like a regular battery, like a car battery, its performance gonna degrade like as you go down to like 30, like even past 70% capacity.
Wow.
So they're not that reliable.
I never knew
that. But yeah, if you're trying to power like a refrigerator in a camping truck, you know, on a road trip to Utah, you need to go with lithium. So, personal yeah, I've done my research on battery performance and all that. But yeah.
Gio, how was your weekend?
Oh, My weekend was great. I did a wedding, probably one of my most favorite weddings of the year. It's at the Renaissance Arlington Hotel. One of the bigger weddings, the biggest wedding I've done all year. We had like about 330 some guests.
For that wedding, and videos. But
big ballroom. I wish I brought like a much bigger sound system. I brought like 4 speakers. That was pretty much enough. But it's like I need more oof. The RCFs weren't kicking it that well.
Really?
For
300, that's a lot of people. Did you bring subwoofers?
I had like
you said 4 speakers.
I brought in my 2 J8s and my 2 15s, my 2 EV 15s.
Okay, so you had them all rocking though.
Yeah, but it wasn't enough. I need more bass.
More low end. Yeah.
It was enough for them. I guess. Oh, yeah. Volume and mid bass wise, but yeah, in your mind you were like there's not enough low end in this
situation. Yeah. But the highlight of that gig was like I brought out my new lighting setup. So I bought these Astera AX1s. You know, like you guys know the whole lighting trend this year, like those light bars.
The light bar the pole.
They look like fluorescent light tubes. But they're really dope, man. Like you can control them DMX. They are bright. They're like 1,000 lumens each one. So I have 4 of them. So. You know they're really bright, but I think I'm gonna start like incorporating them into my speakers for just bringing them like maybe 2 like at like my smaller gigs. They're really good. I recommend if you're trying to.
It's a very good standout,
but it's expensive. They're very expensive for lights. So
here's a question for you on lighting. Lighting's not my specialty. I know how to operate stuff, but I don't know what companies are doing things that are like long lasting. Compared to a company like Ape Labs, which I know is like a boutique brand, where would yours fall in? Are those like higher
so,
end?
So I did look at like multiple like brands that do like the light tubes. Eliminator and like American DJ, they're not the greatest. They're not bright at all. Ape Labs and you know, I've talked to Flips about this because he has those.
Mm-hmm. He does.
They're not that bright either.
Really?
So
I know a lot of people that bought those. Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to decide whether to go with the Ape Labs or like the Astera, and when I finally looked at the specs, I was like, wow, this way different. Totally, Astera blows them out the box, man. I mean, there's a reason why Astera AX1s are used by TV and film industries. That's what they use for, like, you know, really like for music videos, for, you know, those are like the light tubes that you always see in music videos and TV production and all that. It's there's a reason why they're a standard. So, and you know, I learned all of that from like watching Jason Janai's. Big shout out to Jason Janai. Him and his company, you know, they use those lights, and he's got a couple good YouTube videos that really convinced me to get those. But again, it's expensive, but they're well worth it. You know, I can see myself using them a lot next year, and it's. It's a good selling point. I think I'm gonna, you know, secure a lot more contracts with those just to be different, even. You know. And not a lot of people in the area use them, so it's like, you know, might as well jump on them. You know, just get a head start on having these ahead of the other guys.
Get ready for 22.
Are those wedding? Are the big wedding shows coming back yet? Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah, January, that big show that in DC that's always happened. They're actually back in January.
Are you going to try to bring them? Because I know you've done booths at those before. Are you?
I kind of don't need the shows anymore.
That's good.
I rarely book a lot of, you know, brides from, or not, I shouldn't say brides anymore, couples from those shows. I've gotten to the point where it's like, it's, you know, the wheels are rolling, but if you're starting out, I recommend it just right. So you can get that list.
Yeah.
Cause at the end of the day, that's what everybody's like fall for. It's like getting that mailing list, you know, and whatever you do with that mailing list is how you determine how successful it is, you know, but I've had success to where I was using the mailing list, cause they have addresses. I was trying to do something different. and I did direct mail, and I actually was successful at booking a lot of, like, you know, getting a lot of inquiries from there, because they're already going to get so much, like, emails from all kinds of vendors from the show. You might as well try to get their attention, you know, elsewhere, either book them at the show or, you know, or just get them through direct mail, I guess.
That's so genius. Yeah. Way less noise and competition in the DJ space and direct mail. That's wild.
But I don't try to do, like, those big bridal shows. I try to do, like, more of, like, the smaller trunk shows. So if you, like, if you have, like,
hosted by a venue.
If you have, like, a venue. Am I going too long, Adrian? But yeah, like, but anyway, that's not even my story. All right.
Yeah. So, tell us what happened to you that had you so.
So we do have a confessions of a DJ, and that's, you know, it's not really a confession, but, like, it's story time. It's story time, fellas. So the weekend before, I was supposed to tell the story from last week when we were supposed to do the podcast, but, you know, everybody was sick. But last weekend I had, like, a very interesting wedding. So this is out in gosh, I forgot the venue now. The
Blue Ridge Mountains.
No, Blue Farm B&B and something like that. Anyways,
Blue Tavern.
It's a
tavern.
What is it?
Blue Duck Tavern or something? I don't know.
It's Blue Farm B&B or something like that. But basically, property. Blue Hill Farm.
I've been there. Okay, B&B. Yeah.
Blu-ray Tavern.
Big property, small house, small venue, everything. But they got big, huge property. So last week, the weekend before, I had to do a wedding, do a ceremony, cocktail hour reception. And this was a day where it's like, it was storming and raining all day. And this venue is really not built for to do all, like, having, like, a rain plan, you know?
Yeah.
So basically, I mean, going out there, it's like already, like, the loading was, like, horrible, because, like, they had, like, tractors in front of, like, the carriage house where the
calls? Oh, this is going to be a great wedding venue.
But yeah, it was like, I couldn't roll things in because, like, everything's like gravel. It's so all, it's like, gravel. You know, with carts, you can't really roll, you know, things on gravel. God. So I'm like, and I had to carry everything in. And then really, they really didn't think about the DJ. They had to put me in the corner and corner of this house. And they had, like, I think it had like 100 people in there. And it's like, there's no way, you know, it was tight. All the tables were, like, really close together. It was tight fit in there. But yeah, as far as, like, ceremony, I have to do the ceremony in the backyard part of their property behind the house, and it was raining. So basically, their ceremony got delayed an hour and a half.
Wow.
You know, and thank God I have, like, battery setups, because there's really no outlets out there. They basically have to run, like, 150-foot, you know, extension from the house.
That's why I remember that place.
And thank God they have a little gazebo. So that's where I was set up, like, where the ceremony is. So if they had me set up, like, out there in the rain, I'm like, nah, I can't do it. I need a tent. You guys should have brought out a tent. But so here's the thing, though. The coordinator had a rain plan. Mm-hmm. had a call. Like, 11 a.m. I said it on the timeline. 11 a.m. They were supposed to make a rain call to, like, whether to not do it outside or just do it inside. And apparently they couldn't decide. So it was like an hour and a half delay. And then, you know, we went into, like, a short cocktail hour. I had two cocktail hours. So in the beginning of the day, where everybody was coming in, ceremony was delayed an hour and a half. So I had to do a cocktail hour in the beginning. And then after that, we had, like, after the ceremony, we had a short cocktail hour. So I was like, all right, two different cocktail hours. I had to, like,
that's weird.
I had to DJ the second one.
Hopefully, they got plenty of cocktails.
Oh, shoot, man. Everybody was drinking at that
point. Extra time for cocktails.
But that's not even, like, the worst of it. Like, you know, we did all the grand entrance. We did the first dance. We had the... what else did we do? No, we had, like... Everything else was, like, set up later. So, like, we only had a grand entrance. and First Dance. So all the parent dances, cake cutting and all that was like later after dinner and toast and speeches. But all right. So like once dinner started, okay, like not even like maybe 10 minutes into it, I get a the coordinate comes up to me. It's like, hey, the groom just had like an allergic reaction to the food.
Oh,
so we're gonna have to delay things. He's in the house right now.
Delay, or
and they're trying to like give him like
Benadryl.
Yeah, like stuff like that, you know.
Wow.
And so I was like, okay, that's all right. Just let me know when things are okay. So like maybe 30 minutes later, actually not even like maybe 20 minutes later, coordinator comes back to me. Hey, we just sent the groom to the hospital.
Holy crap, man!
What?
Wow.
So
this is nuts.
So now, we're gonna get updates from them, but I think you're gonna have to start the night off right away, you know, and
start
groom bounced, but the people are still here. We're gonna groom, keep
partying. Groom, bride, and the parents, of course, they bounce and
screw
them. And nobody knows. Here. Here's the thing, nobody knows.
What's so let's
rage, let's rage.
So I'm looking at the dinner, I'm like, okay, it's like everybody's like pretty much like fed, psyching, and then that's when I started the party. It's like, hey man, we're gonna start the party early here, you know. We're still gonna wait for, you know, bride and groom to like come back to continue on with the rest of the festivities. So, but you know, party's open, you know, open dance for blah blah blah, and drinks, you know, keep drinking, keep eating, whatever. So basically, I was DJing. I literally DJed the whole night without the bride and groom.
Wow!
Whoa!
So all that prepping. All the prepping and like, this song. I like that.
But they finally found out. A lot of the guests finally found out. Like maybe like an hour into the party, is like, oh shit.
Oh, they're
not here.
Here's a confession. Was like, it more fun without the bride or groom?
Oh, they must be doing sunset pictures. Oh wait, it's foggy and rainy.
Yeah. So this is the first where I've DJed a party, and I mean, not even like I'm only like. I mean, a good thing we got their entrance and their first dance. I mean, we got those pictures, we got the ceremony and stuff. But it's like nothing was working for them like the whole day, man. The ceremony got delayed.
Yeah, I was gonna say
it was raining. It was like miserable.
The ceremony delayed because of rain. So it starts with the rain, and then it goes into food poison, and then wow.
I mean, it's talking about like you know, that's a story. I mean, I've been DJing weddings for 20 plus years. I've never heard of that before.
That's ever. Insane. Yeah.
Ever heard of the
it's never groom happened to
or
me,
the bride, so. Somebody like the actual bride or groom, you know? Yeah. You've heard of other people. Like I've been at a wedding before where somebody like had a mild heart attack or something and had to get rushed away and everybody's like frantic and oh my gosh, but it like, but nothing where it was like the stars of the show.
Yeah. No, the actual stars of the show, but
did you talk to them? Have you?
Yeah, I actually emailed them like on Monday. So I was like, all right, I have like the email open up here. So it's like, hey, so
yo, you good?
Just wanted to check up on you guys. How are you feeling?
Yo, you good?
And then the groom replied back, I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. We heard you saved our wedding and made it a special moment for our guests. Still extremely upset our evening with friends and family was cut short, but thank you for making it a great day from start to finish. So that's a good review right there.
That's a good review right there, bro.
Actually not, because he wasn't there.
Yeah, it doesn't count. You need a real witness.
Excuse me. You need I'm kind of contemplating
a real person at the party.
Like, reply back like, hey,
you need the best man to give you a review, or somebody the matron of honor, or somebody.
There you actually, go.
But once everybody figured it out, then yeah, like a lot of people trickled out. Pretty much the only people that was left were like, you know, like the close friends, family, and like family. You know, every all the wedding party. But we also like after that one last hour, they found out that they were gonna come back. So yeah, like the property owner was nice enough to let everybody stay. You know, I fortunately couldn't DJ because like they have like a sound ordinance out there. So it's like, you know, but property owners are like, yeah, we're allowing everybody to stay for until they, you know, when they come back and they can, you guys can stay for a bit. So that was nice of him to do that. But yeah, so that was my interesting wedding story.
Man, that's a story that'll live on for a while, man.
That's amazing. That's some terrible.
I never heard of anything like that. Crazy.
What I mean, what would you do if you guys got married like and had to miss your wedding? Would you make it up or is it?
I'd call the DJ and be like, dude, just have a good time, man. Company, just,
like that's a question I'm thinking about. I'm sorry, trying to figure out what's in their head right now because like they missed out. You know, I mean, well, they got all the important stuff.
It's TBD, man. TBD because like you can't ask everybody to come.
And
back.
This is a wedding that was postponed.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
That's worse.
They're either going to be divorced in 3 years or they are going to have like either the 10-year or 20-year like renewal party that's going to be like the bachelor.
That's going to be the situation.
There's no other way. Like, because all the stuff that went wrong with their wedding, either they're not meant to be together and the universe was trying to tell them, or it's
I actually believe in that.
The flip side of it, though, is people always say it's good luck if it rains at a wedding and things like that. So with all the crap that they went through, they're going to have like the most amazing marriage. And like I said, they might have like the 10-year, 20-year, like, oh, we're going to Bali. Whoever wants to join us, we're renewing our vows and.
Going with that, on the flip side, like there is like this one wedding I did this earlier this season. It was at the Chesapeake Bay Foundation and it rained right after ceremony, like during cocktail where people were in kind of under a thing, so it was okay. It rained for like 10 minutes and then it stopped and then it created a gigantic fucking double rainbow. And then photographers were like, and these guys were kissing on the rainbow. And I was like, wow. Like, that's not fucking something like the universe saying.
Double
like,
rainbow.
You guys are so beach. Good together. Here's a beautiful double rainbow picture for you. You know?
Well, unfortunately, this wedding didn't have a rainbow. So. I mean, it ended up clearing up for you know, like we had a small amount.
Yeah, but we were near the bay, so but... like the water reflection, it was immediate.
Oh man,
that's some storybook stuff, Art.
That's crazy.
Damn.
All right, enough of story time. Moving on.
Let's get onto some topics, guys.
So the same weekend that my wedding story happened was also the same weekend as the DMC World Supremacy Battle.
Eric J won the championship.
Yep.
But everyone's talking about the battle between Ease and Esquire. Why?
Yeah.
That's the show.
Yes.
Yeah. Why?
We've had Ease and Esquire on the show before. But yeah, that was
the homies, actually.
Those are first round battles too. It was that round was in the first round. But basically, like Doc was saying, Eric J got one. He's now a two-time champion. And then the guy that's got second place is how do you say it, Art?
Camilix.
Camilix. Actually, no, he actually pronounced his name right. Because like one of the rebuttals, he was like, I know everybody's gonna, you know, pronounce my name.
Yeah, yeah. He told you how to do it. It's just I
spelled it out phonetically. It's Hemielix.
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 Yeah, it's the CH in the beginning. I think like as dumb Americans, we're like
silent C. Yeah,
we're like Hemielix, man. You know,
Chameleon.
Like I read Pogito for the first time. I said Polito, and I'm like, damn, stupid American.
You know, my wife, first time she met my parents and my one of my sisters. We had dinner at I think it was Chili's. I think we ate at Chili's, and. You know, she's nervous around my parents. And then as we were going around ordering, and then basically it was her turn to order, and she just, I was just making fun. For some reason we were like talking about like stuff food, and I was like, we were pronouncing stuff wrong. So he's like, phagitis. So I think it got engraved in their head to and say that out loud. So she went like phagitis, and she knows like how to pronounce it, but it just came out.
We
laughed about it. And
it sounds
and
like an
made
infection.
Fun of her ever since. But anyways, going back to the DMC battle, the highlight of the battle was definitely Ease and Esquire.
I'd say so.
And Art, as you remember, you know, we had Esquire on the podcast a year ago, and we were talking about DMC World Finals, to where like, wow, it's like, you know, they brought like sort of like a WWE style element to it. Cause you know, after you go, you know, battle, you can like rebuttal, you can post up like a video of you talking, you know, talking trash
so
or whatever.
The reaction videos. Yes.
Yeah. So now reaction.
It's online. There are these, you know, you're allowed to film a reaction video to the routine. And I think, it's been great. You know, the first year we did it was last year. And I think we did okay. I did some reactions that were like right in the middle, trying to hurt someone's feelings, but then trying to kind of also be like, you know, just ride that fine line. But then, yeah, I think these guys definitely took it a little bit further and stepped over that fine line a little bit. They took it to the next level.
But yeah, like, I mean, they were talking about each other's moms.
Yeah,
girls.
They're talking about their wifeys. Their moms got talked about, pulled out in the end. I think they're calling out each other's championship titles.
The one funny reaction came from Ease, and he said something funny about like, because you know, like Esquire did like a routine where he's done it before, and then he basically Ease brought it back. It's like, oh, this kind of sounds familiar, you know. And then all of a sudden, he posted up like a video of him like back in 2012, like doing a routine.
That's sad.
Yeah. So these reaction videos are going further now because these guys are also editing these videos. It's like literally sitting there like thought bubbles popping up. Yeah. Like, my god.
it was very interesting. Like I'm just going through my notes right now. Like you know, he was talking about like Flair. You know, like Ease was like flares, and then like Esquire corrected it. If you knew what this scratch is, it's called a chirp flare. You know, stuff like that. What else was there? Something about the paper champ. Oh yeah, Ease. Ease, I guess, said, oh, was it Esquire?
The
people's Esquire corrected Ease on the paper champ.
Paper champ. Yeah.
And then he was like, you know.
Then he said something about the Rochester
education system. I guess they're not teaching, you know, anybody real well at the in Rochester. You know, it's paper champ, not people's champ. That's what it is. I think that was.
And then Ease was like, no, you know, Rochester's the home of a lot of companies. I think there's like Champion Kodak.
Yeah.
A lot of these.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Ray-Ban and it was Rush interesting. And Mom. I think from what we were talking about, I think Gio feels like it was scripted.
Oh yeah. Come on. Like, see? We talked to Esquire last year about that. He said he's the one that says, I definitely want to join this battle. If they're gonna do it online again, I'm definitely going just because, you know, because I know he's a big time wrestling WWE wrestling fan. You know, and
that's very true.
If anybody is able to like really like create like a better, you know, take that part of it and bring it, take the promos, you know, like what a lot of wrestlers are always like talking about and stuff ring. He knows how to bring that element into.
Oh, he definitely brought that. And I think it was super interesting. I just think it's like some of the stuff, man, I mean, you can script it, but it feels like they were really going at each other for a bit to me.
Is so thin you can't tell what was fake and what wasn't fake.
Yeah,
that's where the WWE part of it comes in. But something else interesting hearing you guys talk about it, having not seen the battles myself, we actually talked about this on our show. back when we had the Goldie Awards.
The Goldie Awards, yeah.
This is kind of the same evolution we were talking about with Lazy Boy's entry for Goldie Awards. When everything was virtual, it was like you gotta use the platform that's in front of you, and they use the platform that's in front of them with the reaction videos. I think
and remember,
that's
exactly Ease and what we were and speculating. You know, Ease and Lazy Boy are like boys, so it's like
yeah, they all worked in the same room on that stuff.
I honestly think it was definitely pre-planned. I don't think Esquire had any routines. He didn't have any new routines during that round, did he? Art? Is he frozen? Looks like he's like it looks like he's like jump ship.
He's thinking real hard about it. There we go.
There he is.
He's moving.
There you go. But,
so Art, did Esquire have like any new routines in that round? I mean they're all the same ones, right?
Yeah. No, I think Esquire did the well, I don't know. Maybe not. He did he has the Love Below routine. I think that got upped. There was the Love Below routine that he used with the whole "She's in my lap, your girlfriend's in my lap." It's just hilarious. But yeah, he upped it with new patterns and stuff like that for sure. I lost.
But regardless, whether it's real or scripted, was the most entertaining battle I've ever seen.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think a lot. First of all, like all the other competitors, you know, they're all dope, but they were boring. They were boring with their reactions. They didn't really. The only funny one was Himielix.
People are too nice.
They're too nice. Come on, man.
Himielix was nice but hilarious. He's like, you used the F word. This is not nice. He's like, he didn't curse once in his routines or in public. And he's like, you're cursing at me. That is not nice. I need to teach you a lesson.
Esquire took advantage. Esquire and Ease, I think it was scripted, but who knows?
That's one of the things I love about battles that are now incorporating the use of the laptops and the current DJ technology. There's so And the fact that podcasts such as our own and many others in the DJ community and elsewhere, there's so many things to pull from. You could find somebody saying a sentence that has nothing to do with DJing and flip it the right way as part of a routine. Like, there's much ammunition now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on.
Yeah.
Don't talk too much about that. Well, anytime like Adrian's not speaking, that means we're talking too much about it. All right. Moving on. So, Doc, what do we have next?
So there's a new piece of gear out there. Newmark and Denon have paired up to create the Mixstream Pro. And have they set a new standard for standalone? Have they set a new standard for put themselves as a contender now in DJ software, Engine Prime?
So the big thing is like, you know, yeah, like this is the first time Denon Engine has appeared on another brand, another, you know, so this time it's in Newmark.
Coming out of Denon, yeah.
Yeah. So it's, you want to speak about it, like Sean? Because you actually own one.
I want to jump right into this. So we were having a conversation right after the announcement of the Mixstream Pro. And I was like, I feel like it's probably good to learn how to use Engine OS because we're teachers. And if it's going to be something marketed at beginner DJs, I was like, I've never used Engine OS other than like 5 minutes at NAMM and stuff like that. So let me get my hands dirty and so I can explain it to somebody who's buying that as their first piece of equipment. And so I decided to go all in, but I also thought about this after I decided to make the purchase of, well, this is an operating system that's part of a piece of hardware. So let me flip the camera over real quick. So here in front of me is the
down, flip it and reverse it.
Flip it and reverse it with the overhead camera situation. Welcome to Sean J's studio. So here's the thing.
Guys. Can we zoom
on him?
Can we focus on him? Sorry.
There we go.
All right. So this is the screen and front and center for the Mixstream Pro. And what it's actually like just barely larger width-wise than my computer keyboard. I was like impressed that this thing is really portable. I keep knocking the USB port on this. But here's the thing that made me realize. This operating system, after years of working on Denon's software, they really have made something robust. But even a step further than that, the entry point for EngineOS prior to this, Doc Bluss knows firsthand, was having the SC5000s or SC4000s that Denon made. And those controllers, the SC5000, $800 for one deck, right? It's got dual layers, but like you could have one piece of equipment and it doesn't really have that same feel as you get with two jog wheels and everything. So this is making a piece of equipment that you can buy one time that has all of the functions you need to learn how to DJ. It's even got the toggle switches that we've all gotten used to thanks to the MS9. It's got software that's robust. And I didn't look at this when I first decided to pull the trigger. All the things that it has built into it. Let me get to the settings. I'm going to click on sources. And what I have enabled right now is just BeatSource Link, shout out to BeatSource, and SoundCloud and Dropbox. So you can play from any of them simultaneously, which you can't do on Serato. True. So like, I'm going to load a song over here. This is one from a thumb drive. Everything plays right. There's some copyrighted stuff in there, so I'm not going to play it loud. But you have this built-in speaker. So if you're a newbie DJ, rather than having to go and now buy a computer controller and speakers, you can use the speaker that's built in here as your monitor. And they're actually really loud. But then this song over here, which is royalty-free, conveniently enough, shout to Sarah the instrumentalist. This is something that shows the waveform. It shows everything you need. And this is playing off of two different sources right now. I could go on and play something from SoundCloud now simultaneously. So if you've got Wi-Fi, the Wi-Fi being built in, everything being here for you, it makes it such a no-brainer to say, once they adapt this same technology to everything else under the In Music brand. Let me switch the camera back because let's keep it real. Denon is owned by In Music. Who else is owned by In Music?
Rain.
This is the step. This is the big step that brings in all of these other well-known DJ brands and gives you a platform that you can integrate into hardware. So if somebody's starting off DJing now, they buy one piece of gear because it's easier to buy one piece than three pieces. They get used to this. Yeah. All right, now I'm going to work my way up. I want something with more features. You can't change the effects on here, for example. Then I'm going to get SC5000. Might as well get two so I got the full set. And now someone's married to a platform that's not Serato, Virtual DJ, Traktor, any of the other ones that we're used to. I really do see this as the big play that marks the check next to, yes, EngineOS has made a software contender that is going to be one to watch for the next couple years, if not the next decade.
I just said
for the standalone market.
Yeah.
Let's be real about that.
I just had an idea.
What's that? And then I want to throw it to Doc to get his
standalone engine box with a screen that'll plug into other hardware. Plug it into your S9. Plug
that
it into
would change.
Leave your computer home, but you're carrying a box like this with a screen and you're
just like a Serato box, but with a screen. Mm-hmm.
And that would change the whole industry, man.
Whoa.
That would be crazy.
That was my idea. Sorry. I mean,
and that's an interesting, it's definitely an interesting point because, you know, we're all thinking the same thing. It's like, wow, I wonder what Serato thinks about this because this is, you know, in some degree, Pioneer's already been a challenger to that because Pioneer has their own software, but they also have their own mechanisms for creating DJs without computers. But this is the first kind of hybrid of the two.
First
hybrid.
Yeah, and one thing I want to say,
big difference is Rekordbox. You can't find that in other platforms. You know, that's or other brands. You know, that's the big
difference.
You're married to Pioneer. What Denon Engine did is like, wow.
Oh, I didn't even speak on that. Actually, Doc, since Doc has been using a Denon piece of gear and has the SCs, like, speak to that. The fact of the matter is, you used Serato, but what was it like making that transition, and what's your thoughts on the gear?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I wanted to bring up, is that I loved how seamless it was, really, to be able to, you know, for anyone that has, let's say, a Rekordbox pen drive or a Serato library, like you can just plug it in and import it. And within a couple minutes with, you know, over 5,000 songs, let's say, it will analyze all of those tracks. Engine Prime will analyze all of those tracks on your media player and then load up all your playlists, libraries, cue points, and everything. So it feels like you're playing right off your Serato library or your Rekordbox library. And you don't need a computer to do that. Like with Rekordbox, you know, you still have to run all of your music through a computer to have it analyzed in Rekordbox and then export your drive or whatever and then put it back into the CDJ or whatever you have.
Still have to like it's all done to bring your playlist or music from Serato to Rekordbox, you still have to use like some third party software, right? To like
true
in order to do it to keep all the I guess the tag, the metadata.
Yeah.
Is that right? I mean,
it is the Rekordbox software that you have to use to like export or analyze all your music, export it back out, and then put it back into now the CDJ. Because if you, for example, if you go on Bandcamp and you buy a song and then you put it onto a pen drive and then you plug it in your CDJ, even the CDJ 3000 that just came out like a year ago won't be able to read it. It'll just be a black screen because you need to pass it through Rekordbox, which feels like you're running a calculator. Now I'm like ranting, but
go for it.
You know, I just love how seamless it was. It's so seamless. Like I feel like it's love that you bring this up, Sean, because it seems like they're really pushing the edge forward here. They're collaborating with other brands. They're saying something, which is that let's make this more accessible to students. That'd be perfect. And also it's professional level. Like it's reverse compatible. You can have someone plug in their, you know, Rekordbox or Serato and play a great set and it'll sound great and feel great. And it's very intuitive to browse.
It's got XLR outs. It's got everything you could basically ever need as a beginner or even intermediate advanced. I got it as a just in case, but like, yo, this really kind of changed my paradigm in the way I was thinking about my gear.
There's one thing that it did pull back from for like a pro performer user type aspect is the whole eight pads. They give you the four. If there was an extra four or like the
eight. But again, it's a Neumark controller. It's not really like a pro lag, but
it's not meant to.
It's a beginner controller that actually has kind of like pro level features.
It's got some pro features. It's got some
pro features. Like the paddles, for sure. That ultimate plus. Ultimate.
Yeah,
I bet that came from like Rain too. Because doesn't like Neumark doesn't have any paddle. It definitely came from Rain. You know?
Oh yeah.
So it looks like I mean, here's the question: what happens if Engine OS gets on a Rain controller, the Rain 2?
It's over. It's over.
What's gonna happen to the standalone market? I bet the standalone market might blow up.
Quickly for mobile.
How much do you think? How much do you think a 2-channel, say, pro mixer with built-in Engine is gonna throw it up though?
Looking at the new
mixers are already
$600 for that controller.
That's great. That's a really good deal.
Yeah, this is one controller for $600, but
it definitely doesn't cost that much to make that Neumark. So it's like, you know, with all the touch screen, the engine, the OS built in, and
I get like $2,000 easily MSRP.
Yeah. It's not gonna cost a lot. You know, from the normal prices for all these top level.
Yeah, mixers. You're within the wheelhouse of what DJs are used to spending on top end gear, so like that's reasonable.
And speaking of top end gear, for those of us that are still using computers to mix and DJ, the new MacBook Pro just came out, and Cflow, Mr. Mac, gave it the stamp of approval. What do you guys think?
It's about damn time.
I know. I'm excited.
It's got no touch bar.
Got to call up my rep.
So what's the highlights? What did they change? What did they add? What did they take out?
I meant everything. Longer battery. I don't know everything, but I do know longer battery life, just more power, more RAM. I think I saw there is a thing you can configure it to 4 terabyte internal SSD. Like it probably costs you literally your firstborn or like a whole limb or something, but you can get that. And apparently they went with the less sleek kind of design. I think Apple's always been pushing that whole thin design in terms of outer shell and kind of like slickness. And they've kind of always had that aesthetic going for them. But this time around, I heard that the computers are kind of back to like, the 2012 kind of models where they're a little thicker because they got to fit a bigger battery. They want to fit bigger. It's definitely made for the pro user. They're not making it for the, you know, like, oh yeah, I need a little laptop because I want an Apple. They just like, they need it's for the pro, you know, the people that are doing
pro level stuff. Here's the question. Are the internal parts upgradable?
Oh,
that was like that was a big change that MacBook Pro did. Apple did for the MacBook Pro. It's like everything, like the hard drives and memory. They're all like, you know, built into the motherboard.
If I had to take a guess, I'm still thinking they're gonna solder in a bunch of this shit.
It's still Apple.
But hey, well, speaking of this too, does anybody here? We've talked about this before previously a while ago, but I just want to bring back the idea to the what is it called? The rights to repair.
Yes.
It's a movement. It's like rights to repair, and Apple is the biggest company that basically goes against that. So screw Apple for that. But basically what that means is like in the 60s and 70s, if you went out and bought a refrigerator, that refrigerator came with an actual book of like how it's built, the parts that you would need to fix it. You know, it would say, oh, you know, this is the type of part you would need to fix the what's it called. We've gone away from that. I don't know if you guys realize that. The last thing you bought that had instructions or how to fix something, you probably never have done that. Apple, they basically do things like make their own screws to touch.
Just
like,
so you can't take it out.
So yeah. When you need to open the thing at home anyways, you're like, I don't have these screws. You got to go to the store and they're like, oh, you need a T6 Apple screw, blah, blah, blah. They make their own screw. They make it so hard for you to get in there and to do anything. And shouts out to Biden, the Biden administration. Biden basically just signed something to where he was like, fuck that shit. These people need to be more, sorry, pardon again. They need to be more accountable, and they basically need to allow people to be able to fix things that they're owning. They're buying for thousands of dollars. They own it, but yet you guys create this whole circle where they have to go back to a genius bar where the genius is really some dude that's been there for 4 days who just graduated the genius school. And he's like, you need a new, I'm just going to tell you need something new.
Peace out, guys. I'm going to run.
All right. We only got like a couple minutes here, but yeah.
Good rest of the show.
Go ahead.
Peace out, Chris. Thank you so much.
By the way, folks, just a reminder, this is not a political, it's recording right now, so
what up, everybody?
Let's just go ahead and end this podcast. So what happened was, you know, the Illuminati found out about our podcast. As I was saying, this is not a political podcast. So yeah, they shut us down. Come on. That's how much
that's how much
influence we have.
They were trying to cover the numbers.
Chris accidentally clicked on end broadcast in the stream, bird, so to get out, because he had to leave early. He had to like really go. So that's it.
All the people puppet is not pleased.
we can't end the podcast without saying goodbye. So yes, jalapeno
puppet in the place.
John's puppy is getting
pissed. Jalapeno puppet's pissed.
But anyways, that was a good talk today. Hopefully, nobody has like more bad wedding stories to tell, or maybe
I hope
more.
I never, you know, have a gig.
Maybe
that
we should
that
have
bad.
More, just to be more interesting. But anyways, guys, make sure to subscribe to the podcast. As always, search.
Do it.
You know, do it. We're all available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music. Just search for Beat Refinery or the Teacher's Lounge podcast. Click like. Subscribe, comment, rate us. Rating and leaving a comment always helps us get up the ranking. So, you know, as always, from myself, Sean J, as one, Doc Plus, and of course, Stylist Chris. We'll see you guys next time. Peace out.
Peace. Go back to class.
Yeah. 40-year-old dude doing a dab. That's why I do it. It's funny. Kids are like, can you not do that? I'm like, oh, you don't like that? I just keep doing it.
Peace out.
All right, guys. Peace.